So tonight, we're looking at Romans chapter 5, news for the world, that peace with God as a reality. And we're continuing on looking through the different chapters of Romans, and tonight, with it being chapter 5, I just want to share some thoughts with you that hopefully, as you go away tonight, you will have experienced something of God's Word that will actually impact you and actually make a difference. Because what we should be in the business as church is seeing people not just coming in and going out exactly the same, but actually seeing something of the transforming power of God at work in every single one of our lives. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point of us being here if we go out the same way that we came in? Just to kind of start us off, some of you will know that my father passed away earlier this year, and I loved him a great deal. At the end of the day, he was my dad, and he would do absolutely anything for anyone. But there were limits. And he was, at times, really, really stubborn. And I know that there's times where I've got that stubborn streak in me. You only have to ask Joanna at the end of the service, that there are some times where I will dig my heels in, and I know that that comes from my dad, and so I can blame him. But once his mind was set on something, good or bad, you could not shift him. You could not change his mind, no matter how much you pleaded or begged him. Once his mind was made up, that was it. And sadly, that affected a great deal of his relationships, and in particular with his three brothers, and also with one of his closest friends. And at various times, and for various reasons, they had all fallen out with my dad. And often it was because my dad had said, "That's it. Enough's enough. I never want to see you again." In that breakup, one of my uncles sadly had passed away. Another I haven't seen, and my brother and sisters haven't seen, for over 25 years. There was no reconciling of the relationships before my dad passed away. Imagine what that must be like. That, and it might be a reality for you, that there's somebody somewhere, there's somebody somewhere out there that actually, in reality, is literally a phone call or an email away. And yet, despite once being so close to you, they are now a million miles away in terms of relationship. They were once one of your closest relations or one of your closest friends. And yet, you won't speak to each other. You won't even think of seeing each other or having anything to do with them. Now imagine that goes on for years and years and years. There's something very deeply disturbing about that whole picture. Not knowing peace in that relationship. And yet I know that a great many people out there, and it may be even for some of us in here tonight, we live exactly like that in relation to someone who once was close to us and who we've now fallen out with. But you know, folks, there's an even greater tragedy. A vast number of people live exactly like that in their relationship to God. But here, at the center of it all, Paul talks about there being the possibility of coming back together, about a reconciliation, a mending of relationships that will end all mending of relationships, the ultimate coming back together. And so Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have."
what? A warm glow or a fuzzy feeling in our heart. A sigh of relief that, finally, everything I've ever done wrong is now forgiven. An understanding of what it means to be belong to God's people at last. Yes, all of those are true. But much more, because at the center of it all, we can now finally have peace with God himself. And so Paul's laid down the foundation in the chapters 1 to 4. And if you haven't picked up on these, they're available on the podcast off our website. And now what Paul starts to do from this chapter onwards is he starts to build the structure of a picture of Christian life with all the promises of God coming true. The establishment of a loving, welcoming, personal relationship between us and our Creator God himself. He is the Creator of all things. And he is above all. And some of his names are written around this room. But at his very heart, his very nature is about love, and it's only natural for him to want to establish a relationship with you and with me. And this doesn't happen when we finally think we've got it all sorted, when we've got our lives back on track, when we're doing what we think is right, when we think we're the good, clean, perfect people that we should be. God came into the middle of our mess in humble, sacrificial love, and he died for us. And Paul goes on to write, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Not for those who had got it sorted, not for those who had got it all right, not for those who had upheld the law perfectly, but for those who are ungodly. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we come to that point where we'd ask for his forgiveness, but while we were still sinners, while we were still messing up, while we were still getting things wrong, Christ died for us. And even more powerfully, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? How amazing is our God? How unbelievably kind and compassionate is he? We can sit and read those words over and over again, and I don't think we'll ever fully understand just what God has done. Let's just take a moment and just pray for a moment. Just thank God and praise him for what he has done for us. Even though we're a million miles away from him, maybe tonight. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you. There just aren't the words to express our thanks for what you've done for us through Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. What a Savior. If there's just one or two who just want to give thanks and praise tonight, just speak them out right now. Praise your name. Lord God, we thank you for your love for us, that you gave your most precious Son for us. Lord, that we can stand in freedom because you have set us free by the shedding of your blood. And we praise your name tonight. Amen. Well, there's a bit of a problem. Because we know it, but the difficulty is, how do we live it out? And being in this relationship with God doesn't always seem natural for us, as Paul has already outlined in the previous chapters. Because we know how messed up we can be. We look around at the world and we see what a mess that it is, and all the trials and temptations that are there. Not only our behavior, but also our thinking and our feeling, and have all been warped and twisted by either going our own way or replacing God with other things, or making gods out of other things, whether it's possessions or just other stuff that's out there. And so we get to that point that we assume it must be difficult to establish a relationship with God. And if we manage it, then it must be hard to maintain it, or mean giving up so much freedom and of ourselves to the point that it seems almost frightening. That to actually take that step of putting our trust and our lives in God's hands seems like the most scary thing we could ever do. But when we are reconciled to God, who is our Father, we have access to his very presence and can come to a place where we are surrounded by his love and his generosity. We come to a place that is a state of his grace. Almost invited to breathe it in as if it was our own air. And as we do, we realize that this is what we were made for. This is who we're supposed to be in Christ. That this is what the human existence truly was meant for and ought to be like, and is a new beginning of something so huge and beyond our imagination. In all its beauty and all its power, that when we start letting God in, we start to almost burst just thinking about how awesome and how big and how vast God is. That he would still love me and loves you and has a plan for each and every one of us. when we stand in God's own presence, knowing and experiencing His goodness, His wisdom, His power, and His joy, we can sense that we're being invited to go all out for Him, becoming the true reflections, the true image bearers that we were made to be in the first place. That as we allow the Holy Spirit work in us, as Paul often comes back to, is that what we end up becoming is what we were made to be in the first place. Bearers of His image. I wonder if that's what you see when you look in the mirror in the morning. Do you see God's image in your reflection? Do you see the handiwork of God there as you look at the mirror in the morning? That we come to a point that, as Paul puts it like this, we boast, or we rejoice, or we celebrate, or we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And that's the glory which was lost in our going our own way and trying to replace it or ignore God completely. But when we finally come to that point where we turn back to Him, we say sorry for the wrong things that we've done, and inherit it, we find a new found freedom. The freedom to be our true selves. The people that God created us to be. We get that to that point where we are free to be who God wanted us to be in the first place. No longer trying to live up to everybody else's expectations or trying to fit into what everybody else says, but living as the image bearers of God, wherever we may be. At home, at work, at school, at college. Even when we're on holiday, we can be the image bearers of God. So no wonder that Paul goes on to speak of celebration, even in the midst of suffering. Because we discover that God does not want us to simply enjoy this one-to-one relationship with Him, but that He also wants to enlist us in His service, in working for His kingdom. And that in itself brings all kinds of pressures and problems and battles, because we are living in a corrupt world that has either rejected or turned its back completely on God, or doesn't even accept that He's even there. And Paul doesn't say that we celebrate our sufferings in the same way we celebrate our hope, but that we celebrate in our sufferings. There's a big difference. Because for Paul, he sees there's a steady progression that God uses our sufferings for the same purpose as He gives us His own presence and love, to transform us into the people that He created us to be. So whatever problems we face, whatever difficulties we see on the horizon, God can use those to help mold and shape us into the people that He wants us to be. We can learn through these times more of His grace, more of His patience. The progression leads from patience or perseverance to character, and from character to hope. Living in a world that seems to want increasingly everything yesterday, now Jesus, our Messiah, calls us to swim against the tide on all counts. To live a life out that is worthy of this calling that we've received from God. Not in our own strength, but in His strength through the Holy Spirit. Because He wants you to be His in every circumstance, in every relationship you face. that the gift you receive from him might be shared with those around you, that they too may know the peace of God. But you've got to know that peace for yourself first, before you share it out with others. You have got to open that gift. Have you accepted the gift that God has placed before us? Paul mentions the gift 5 times in verses 15 to 17. And for many of us, we can know that God has given us this gift of his Son, and this promise to be with us. But, you know, as we lead up to Christmas, it might be that you sit there and you look at the gift and you know it's there for you, it's got your name on it, but you leave it unopened. You just sit and look at it and think, when I need it, I'll open it. But it's a gift that is to be opened every single day. Each and every day was to come back to him. My dad, well, he lived out his final days, separated from those he should have been close to, never finding a reconciliation between himself and his brothers and his friends, never really finding peace in those relationships. I'm just grateful that we managed to do some work amongst the family, and that his eldest brother did come to his funeral. But it was a very sad day, because he sat there and he wept, because he knew it was far too late. There was nothing he could do. Today, right here and right now, you can have the peace with God through Jesus Christ. God's already done all that he can. Are you about to play out your part? Are you going to accept him for yourself? Or maybe in the past, you know you've already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. But as I was out preaching this morning, I was down at Frodsham, and earlier this week, Ted and Rebecca lent us their car so that I could go round places and Joanna could go round places. And I don't know if you've ever borrowed somebody else's car, but when it's not your own, you're a bit on edge and a bit nervous. And I noticed that the fuel gauge was getting a bit low. And then suddenly on the motor, as I'm on my way home, I thought, oh, I've got enough to get me home. If it's like mine, I've got plenty of miles. When suddenly the gauge just goes, and then the orange light, the petrol, like the fuel light comes on. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm miles from anywhere. I'm going, please, Lord, just let me get to Charnock Richard Services, and then I can actually put enough fuel in to get me home. And as I was kind of praying and all this, and I was thinking about tonight's message as well, I kind of thought, and about what we're looking at, and about, do we do enough just to get us home? Do we just come to church enough just so that we know we're still all right, we've still got that peace with God? Do we have enough, or just enough, so that we know that one day we will get home with God? Or do we actually let God fill our tank to overflowing? That we actually give him our all. That we allow him to speak into every single situation of our lives. Or do we just give him enough, so that we've still got a bit that's still ours? Or do we say, here I am, wholly available? Don't leave it until it's too late. because peace with God is available for you today. Let's pray. Lord, as we face life, as we try to come to terms with how awesome you are, Lord, may we just simply come before you. Where there are things that separate us from you, Lord, may we just place them at the foot of the cross. Lord, if there are relationships that we need to restore, by your Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Give us the strength that we and the courage that we need to renew those relationships. Lord, my prayer is that each of us tonight would know that we can have peace with you through all that you have done through your Son Jesus for us. Lord God, I thank you that you held nothing back. And Lord, that is my prayer for each and every one of us. That before you, we would hold nothing back. That we might boast in the hope of the glory of God as you pour out your Holy Spirit on each and all of us and on this church. That we might see this neighborhood, this city, this county transformed by the power and the presence of a God who loves them. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.